Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Good mid-morning and afternoon, Memphis. Welcome to the Jason and John Show on 92.9 FM ESPN. My name is J.R. Moore, filling in for the boys on this beautiful Friday. You can call me J.R., you can call me Justin. Either one works. I'll answer to both. It just depends on how you're feeling. It's also the first day of summer. Can you believe it's the first day of summer? It feels like summer should have started on June 1st. It's ridiculous that June 20 is the first day of summer. That feels weird. Anyway, happy first day of summer, everybody. On the other side of the glass for me is producer George. He hates Jaws, by the way.
I did not say that.
He told me right before he said, listen, I just want you to know something about myself. I like Tampa Bay Rays, and I hate Jaws. And I was like, oh, George, wait, he's really bringing it, coming in hot before we start this show.
I did not say that.
Your hate mail to...
If anyone's going to send me hate mail on that, it's going to be Connor. Like, I know good and well he's going to be the one to do that.
Oh, man. You know, listen, for the first day of summer, I was just curious about that. What's your favorite summer treat? Do you have a favorite summer treat? Like, what is, like, a treat you're like, oh, this feels like summertime to me?
So... It used to be around here. I don't know if it's just that it was when I was growing up around here. Always would go to Jerry's.
Jerry's, of course, yeah.
But if we're taking it to, you know, okay, oh, you're from Florida, obviously, that kind of stuff, which the people would know because Jason and John, of course, did the deep dive on me, and they were right. Like, we have to expose you, George, on the air. Anything key lime flavored.
I love key lime pie. I do like key lime. It really is. I'm with you on that. Yeah, so bad. But Kroger's got a lockdown.
Chokehold
on grocery stores. They will not. Anytime, if there is talk of a Publix coming here, Kroger buys up like three buildings and put the Kroger on every corner to make sure there will never be a Publix in this place. I love a popsicle. I love ice cream, but a popsicle is like summertime. That is a summertime treat. I love it so much. It's also American Eagle Day, where we celebrate our nation's bad A. Can I say bad A? I'm going to say bad A. National bird. And I just learned. My whole life I've been told that the American Eagle is an endangered species. You know, them jokers been fine since 07. They stopped being endangered in 2007.
Before 07.
They're not looking so hot. Now they're just flying around with no problems. So good for them.
We don't have any at the Memphis Zoo, do we?
I don't think so. Since the panda's been gone, that's
very sad.
It's been very sad for the zoo.
I gotta look if we have any eagles.
I was looking at national. It's summertime, and I was like, I wonder what our national days are. It's also National Flip Flop Day, and there's nothing I despise more in footwear than flip flops.
I can't do it.
I hate
it. Not for me.
In between my things, in between my toes, not great. Also, it looks gross.
You're not one of those people who wore the. What were they? What brand were they? Those toe shoes?
The Vibrams or whatever.
Were they Fila or something like that?
Yeah, I forgot what the name of those things are.
I had a baseball coach who only wore those.
Oh, that is gross.
I was like, my guy, you gotta.
Man, that was not a good invention in shoe wear. I did not like it. On the show today, we have Jeffrey Wright coming up in the second segment. We also have the rundown at the noon hour and, of course, Part of the Podgy in hour three. But there was an NBA Finals game last night, Game 6 to be exact, and boy, did that was an unexpected outcome. The Indiana Pacers blew out the Oklahoma City Thunder 108-91, and I don't even think it was that close than that final score.
It certainly didn't feel – when it got to 30, I was like, you know what?
Yep.
I think I'm good to turn
this think
off.
We're good. Yep. Obviously, the big story is James Johnson getting ejected in the last minute of the game.
Did he actually get tossed?
He got tossed.
Oh, no.
He really did get tossed. That man got in like the last minute of the game. He really did get tossed. You're like, come on, dude. I'm kidding. That's not the big story. The big story is that the Pacers won and tied the series up 3-3. We are heading to a game 7 in Oklahoma City. Halliburton had 14. He didn't even have to play in the fourth quarter.
No.
So much for a calf injury. Had a great no-look pass.
That was a quarterback move.
There are moments.
Art.
There are moments like I feel like if you're a Pacers fan, if you were there in that building, that's like a moment you'll remember the rest of your life. I still remember one of the Grizz.
It's on right now.
It's on right now. It sure is.
They are
showing that highlight over and over again. I remember a Grizz playoff game where OJ Mayo threw an alley-oop to Darrell Arthur, and it felt like the roof was going to come off of FedEx Forum. And I remember that to this day. I remember that play. Like I was there with my brother. It was like you could see it coming. And I bet you if you were in that building and you saw Siakam making his break to the basket, you could see it coming. But I'm sure they didn't think for him to cram it like that on
just crushing
on
people.
That was incredible. So super fun game. So unexpected. I'll be honest with you. I thought OKC was gonna I thought they might sweep it at the beginning of the series. And then when the Pacers took game one, I thought, okay, this is going to be like that 76ers-Lakers series years ago.
Yeah.
Where there's a surprise game one victory for the road team, and then, you know, the better team just takes over. And there is something about this Pacers team, man. They just will not die.
No. I mean, and that's what we've been talking about really with them all playoffs. It hasn't really mattered which series they've been in. They've either gone up 3-1, or taking an unexpected loss, and you're like, you know what? Okay, we'll see what happens. But you have to crush them.
You really do.
Or they're going to come back and win. Or in this game, they just ran you off
the
court.
They just ran off.
They just run.
They kind of out OKC'd OKC. It was weird. It was like they did like a Freaky Friday thing where they change spots. Because one of the things that I've noticed about OKC, which if you're not a fan of theirs, it drives you bananas, even watching the Grizzly series with them, is that they never give up on a play. Like, you just get so used to a lot of guys, like, if you get beat, you know, that you might, they may kind of stay on your hip a little bit, but they're not as active with their hands. They just get beat and they just kind of, I don't want to say they give up on a play, but the Thunder legitimately, if they initially get beat, they're now anticipating to dive into a passing lane. They never stop on a defensive play. Frankly, it's how Ja got hurt on that dunk, is that Lu Dort did not give up on a breakaway. I mean, I think he probably should have, but he didn't. And it's almost become in their nature that, like, yes, I know you know, the obvious, the most likely scenario right now is that you're going to get a layup or a dunk, but I can still get my hand in there and maybe disrupt this. And that's how they played all year, and it drives you crazy. They get so many steals doing it, and it seemed like last night the Pacers were like, oh, we'll just take a page out of your book. Even when Halliburton got that steal for when they did like almost like a three-man weave where the ball never hit the ground and hits homeboy in the corner for a three, and they ran like the picture-perfect fast break of how like it's taught when you're a kid. And it all started with there was an offensive rebound by the Thunder, but the Pacers did not give up their intensity level on the play, ended up intercepting a pass and going the other way. And it was so impressive and so weird to watch the change of personalities in these two teams that I just it's crazy. The Pacers, I cannot tip my cap to them more, but that they just won't die. And a game 7. We haven't had a game 7 in the finals since 2016, I believe.
Really?
It's been that long since we've had a game 7 in the finals. And that it's with two middle of America teams that, you know, mostly nobody cares about. But it's been...
No disrespect, obviously, to OKC and Indiana.
No. I said that most people don't care. I think it's great. I love it. It's that, you know, people always say if it's not the Lakers and the Knicks, then Lakers
Celtics
and LeBron or Celtics, who gives a crap? Wherever LeBron is, who cares? But I think it's great. As a matter of fact, I had a dude when I was filling in on Monday. I had a guy. For those of you who don't know, I'm in my other job, I'm a musician, and so I had a guy who's a fan of my band. When I said I was doing this, he was like, "Oh, I bet you're going to talk about the stupid finals us the ratings are terrible and the basketball sucks. And I was like, listen, the ratings might be terrible, but the basketball does not suck. It's actually a great series.
You know, and that brings up a good point that we've kind of talked about a little bit with myself and Jeffrey. If you guys don't know, oh, I'm sure you guys do know, I'm the producer for Jeffrey Wright & Company. Coming up after this show, yep, double duty again.
Double duty.
Love it. But why do we care? Why
I heard
do we...
a tinge.
Oh, no, no. I do.
I love that voice.
Why do we care about the ratings? Like, you and me, why should we actually care about the ratings when we're getting awesome games out of this?
That's a great point, because it doesn't, it's not like it affects my bottom line. I don't care about the ratings.
I don't care. We're getting awesome. Like, yeah, we're going to have seven games of fantastic ball.
That's exactly right. We get more, we're getting extra basketball. And it's good
it's
basketball.
It's really good basketball. I mean, we've got two teams that fundamentally play strong ball. Like,
yes.
Play a somewhat-ish similar style. I mean, the Pacers obviously just run up and down the floor
yep.
all the time. The Thunder, that defense, like you were talking about, it's suffocating.
I mean,
they're so physical. And I get where some people are like, you know, oh, they don't play like that anymore. They shouldn't have to. They shouldn't play that physically. But they do, and it works for them.
I mean, you know, with okay, like as much as I want to hate them, and I do hate them, let me be clear, I hate the Thunder, but I appreciate their style of basketball so much because it is such a buck to the trend of just shoot three, shoot three, shoot threes, that they actually shoot shots from 12 to 16 feet. They shoot a mid-range shot and they play crazy defense, and that's such a throwback to a different time of basketball that data nerds would say this is the most inefficient and pointless way of playing, that why would you shoot all these two-point baskets? And yet they're awesome at it. And matter of fact, that same guy who messaged me about that, and he was like, he's a Jazz fan. He lives in Utah. He's a Jazz fan. And he's
I'm
like,
so sorry.
I know. To his credit, I actually will give him credit. You know, when people like, when people get mad about when politics mixes in with sports, and when politics started mixing in with the NBA, he was like, "I'm boycotting basketball," and by God, he did. He's one of the few who literally did stop watching the NBA, and I was like, "Oh, you know what? If you're gonna stand by your word, okay." But he's like, "I tried to watch the Jazz, and they shot 15 threes in the first 3 minutes, and I just couldn't even watch it." And I was like, "To be fair, the Jazz have sucked for several years, so." I understand why you couldn't watch it. However, the Thunder barely shoot threes and play defense and shoot mid-range, and they're one of the they have like what the fourth or fifth best record in NBA history. They're freaking awesome. And yet the Pacers are, again, will not die. Will not die. It's and you're right. Why do we care about the ratings? I guess it's just something to talk about. You care about the ratings because you want it to always be accessible to you. The games to be easily accessible. I guess if the rating sucked, then it wouldn't be carried as prominently or on a station that you could get easily. And maybe that's why you care about the ratings.
But it's the finals. They will always be covered somewhere.
That's exactly
right. You know, on ESPN, on TNT, on NBC, wherever it is.
Yep.
Shoot, we cover it here. We have all the games here on 92.9. But, like, it's the finals.
If you don't have an NBA team in your city, I really don't know why you would care about the ratings. I think for us, maybe because we're a small market team and we're always in fear of our team leaving and that
maybe
we care about the ratings and that people care about that the team is in Memphis. And so when it gets talked about nationally, you don't want people to be like, oh, it's the Grizzlies. Who cares about watching the Grizzlies on a national level? And so I guess you don't want that narrative going.
But that might just be us being hyper aware to that.
I think it could be us being hyper aware of that, because the Pacers have been in Indianapolis since the ABA, so they're not worried about that. OKC is thriving, so they're not really worried about that.
Concerned. I mean, sure, this could be their first championship in OKC, but they've also been going pretty darn strong since they moved from Seattle.
Yeah, yeah, they are not.
Now, I'm sure people of Seattle are certainly rooting for the Pacers.
Of course, 100%. Absolutely, absolutely. I'm with you on that. It's been great in Oklahoma City, so I don't think they're worried about ratings either. Like, and they've been blessed with, as soon as they got there, they have Kevin Durant. And like so, and then Russell Westbrook. Get out my face. They have not had the struggles that the rest of us have had. And so that's the only reason I can think about why ratings here, because we're aware of it, because we're and it's always touchy of like, just like, I hope our team, we better watch and we better talk good about Memphis or otherwise our team might leave. So maybe that's why. I don't know. What's funny is that the biggest, I always find that the biggest, you know, one of the biggest complaints about from Pacers fans is that their team is always stuck in mediocrity. Like they're always in like, we're in who caresville, where I kind of see their point to when the Pacers are on your schedule when they come to Memphis. It's not like it's some go to game for us to go see necessarily. At least as far as the opponent goes. And however, it's almost like the argument that Calkins and Harrington always make of like, hey, it's a successful season most of the time if you have to have meaningful basketball as long into the season as you possibly can. So even if you're mediocre, it's better than being terrible and bad. Tell me how the Washington Wizards fans feel right now. They are stuck at the very bottom. I bet they would kill for mediocrity. Like, give me a 7 seed in the playoffs. I bet they would love, you know.
Get us some play-in games.
Get something, you know.
Shoot, even for example, the Grizzlies this year.
Yes.
Had a terrible stretch towards the end of the year. We've talked about that, you know, till our faces turned blue. But I was working at OKC, I was working at OKC, and I was working that Mavericks game.
Yep.
In the play-in. The Forum was alive. It was electric. It was awesome.
Playoff basketball feels different in the building.
Yes.
There is a different energy to it. And so, you know, so you can complain about, the Pacers fans can complain about their, you know, their perpetual mediocrity for as much as they want. However, if you hang around being good for long enough, eventually you get to pop out and break through. And which is what they're doing now. I mean, they did it with Reggie Miller. I mean, they were good for a while, Reggie Miller. And then they took a dip, but they never took a dip to where it's like, oh my God, they're fighting for the first pick in the draft. I can't remember the last time the Pacers were like trying to be in the top, one of the top five picks. I don't have any recollection of them being that bad.
I can't think. I mean, is that just, that's just good management too?
I would say that to me, that's good management to where you're always pretty good.
Yeah.
Sometimes real good, never bad.
And even last year, I mean, this trend of the Pacers playing this way and being this solid goes back to last season.
Yes.
When they were in the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, sure, they were also beat up and playing against the eventual champions. I mean, the Celtics last year were an absolute machine.
Sure.
But this time it broke their way.
Yep.
They're in the finals. They were playing the best basketball, I would say, of any team going into the finals. They just blew out what a lot of us have been saying is the best team in the NBA all season.
Yeah.
In a game 6.
Yep.
And now we have a game 7. And like, for what it's worth, when we say blew out, I was listening to the game as I was driving back from running trivia last night. And I was like, there's no way it can be this bad. There was one thing that I picked out, and this was between the second and the third quarter. The Thunder went 19 minutes last of actual game time, not real time, game time. The only players that scored in that 20-minute span were SGA and Jalen Williams.
Good Lord.
You know who broke that? A free throw from Isaiah Hartenstein. The only two guys that actually came to play, it felt like, for a good stretch of that game were Jalen Williams and SGA, the MVP.
That is brutal.
Absolutely brutal. And the thing is, we also talked about this the whole time. Man, this Thunder bench is awesome, right? Like, they can roll 11 deep.
Yeah.
They got outscored by like 11 points bench to bench.
Really?
The Pacers bench last night was phenomenal. Obi Toppin was insane. Yep. TJ McConnell, another double digit performance.
The Great White Hope, TJ McConnell.
4 steals.
It's crazy.
4 steals. He had as many steals as the Thunder did last night.
That's incredible. Like,
can you believe
that? I'm saying, they did a Freaky Friday.
Yes.
And they just switched roles. The Pacers are also somewhat the argument of the run it back argument. Like, I don't think anybody expected them to be in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. That was a surprise. And I think because that was a surprise, nobody was like, well, they're good enough. They should just run it. They can repeat that success, because I thought everybody felt like it was kind of fluky. They got there last year. And then they were like, nope, we're just going to run it back. And they did. And from the beginning of the year, they were not playing well, so it seemed like that was a mistake. I mean, aren't they a six seed?
I think they were a...
They were not a high seed in the...
Four seed, I believe.
They were four? Okay. It's not like they were a high seed in the Eastern Conference at all. And so, I mean, they've been playing well since January, but still, that is a... They had a lot of ground to make up. And
yeah, they were the four seed.
They were the four seed, okay.
Yeah, they played the Bucks in that first round, and the Bucks were just beat up.
Still, a four seed in the finals is unusual.
Yes,
that's definitely super unusual. And they just ran it back, which is, you know, that's one of those arguments that you look at the Grizz, you're like, I wonder, you know.
A little late for that.
A little late for that now, yes. And I think they probably made the right decision. But it is one of those, like, when your guys are healthy, the Grizzlies win games, and they're really good. And so...
Yeah, like there's certainly that argument to make. I mean, they made some the Pacers, that is. Yeah. They made some moves around the edges. I mean, they got Obi Toppin from the Knicks on was essentially a salary dump, and he's turned out to be one of the best bench players the playoffs and the finals. They've got some young players. I mean, but other than that, you're right. They just kind of ran it back. Miles Turner, it feels like, has always been in trade talks, and they're like,
yes,
we're gonna hold on to our center who can block shots and nail threes.
Right.
That's working out for them.
It's yes.
Tyrese Halliburton, even on what didn't really look like a bum gaff. I mean, he looked pretty darn good last night.
Yep.
I mean, there isn't even a conversation with him where everyone says, you know, the conversation was, is he a superstar or not? At this point, does it matter? Because he's turning out to be something even better than that.
Absolutely.
He's a leader.
He's a leader. It's weird because he's like a Siakam is their scorer. And think about
so
that
good.
Team and think Pascal Siakam. You think about the Pacers and the first thing that comes to your brain is Halliburton.
Yeah.
You never and he runs the show. It's pretty impressive. I think it's I find myself really pulling for this Pacers team. Not just because I hate the Thunder, but mostly because I can appreciate what they're doing. And I like, they've been a franchise forever, and they've never won a title, right? I'm not wrong there. They never won.
Nope.
I was pulling for them in those old Reggie New York Knicks battles. I was pulling for them. They've never been able to get over the hump. So I kind of feel like they deserve it. I feel like they deserve it way more than the Thunder do.
I mean, we do say that. This Thunder team, as long as they stay healthy, and obviously that's kind of the caveat for every team, they should be back next year very similar fashion. And, I mean, we all talk about it. They've got – I think they still have first-round picks in this year's draft. Their first-round pick from last year didn't even play this year because he blew out his ACL right before, and supposedly he is really good.
It's terrifying.
They just have a wealth of riches.
They really do. It's terrifying. It really is terrifying. They should be good for a long time. It is crazy to watch. Like, what's awesome about playoff basketball is that if you can match up with somebody long enough and you all these coaches and you give them time to break down things, you do start to figure out a flaw in the other team. And it felt like for the longest time that the OKC really did not have a flaw. It's kind of nice to see, like, with an extended series. Like, even, like, the way Ja was talking about, you know, he's like, I think we figured some things out, and then he was hurt, and they just didn't have the horses to do anything about it. That it feels like Indiana, like, Rick Carlisle and his staff, it feels like they've kind of, like, it's just an actual chess match, and it's not just OKC taking over and overwhelming somebody with defense. They're like, okay, I see what you're doing. We'll make this adjustment. And that to make OKC have to try to play half-court offense. Like, if you can just not let them overwhelm you with their defense, now let's see what you're going to do. And you're like, oh, they aren't a perfect basketball team.
Yeah.
Which they have, for most of the season, have darn near looked like the perfect basketball team, including the playoffs, when they've beat the ever-living snot out of people. And so, you know, it's kind of great to see, I'm just so happy we have a Game 7.
It's really exciting.
It's really exciting to have, like, to go, for my favorite sport to go all the way to the finals in a Game 7. It's competitive. And this whole time, I thought OKC was going to take it. And I still think OKC is going to win it. But, like, again, never count out these Pacers.
Absolutely can never count out the way that these Pacers have been playing. They've just been – it's top to bottom. I mean, like I mentioned, their top scorer last night was Obi Toppin off their bench.
It's crazy.
Just depth. They run up and down the floor, and even more to your point of they just out thundered the Thunder.
Yeah.
They had 16 steals last night.
That's amazing.
That's 16.
Shea had 8 turnovers. I feel like that guy doesn't have 8 turnovers in 5 games, much less in 1 game.
No, he averages, he maybe averages like 3 a game.
Yeah.
Up until that point. One thing that I did notice with this game that might actually really help out the Thunder, and this is something we talked about in games 2, 3, and 4,
yep,
is just the work, the amount of effort that the Thunder players are having to really put in.
Yeah.
I do think Dagnall did a pretty good job of realizing, he's like, okay, you know what? This one's kind of a wash. This is out of hand. Let's start to really put in these bench guys.
Yep.
I mean, the only starting player last night for the Thunder who played more than 30 minutes was Shea, and he only played 31. It's not like he was playing the majority of the game. I mean, Chet didn't even break 25. Lu Dort only played about 20 minutes. Hartenstein only played 15, 16 minutes last night. So we'll see if they're fresh for that game. I want to say game 7 is on Sunday. So they're going to have a bit of a break. Both teams are going to have that time off. But it really felt like Dagnall was in his mind like, okay, wait a second. This is out of hand. Let's give these guys a breathe. We'll see how it goes at home in a game 7 in OKC where the Thunder have been excellent all year and all playoffs.
It is shocking they did not come out with a killer instinct effort to close it out. And I wonder if that's inexperience. If you have a 3-2 lead, I know you're not at home, but like you would think that. I just find it surprising they got beat that bad. Like to lose a game, maybe it was a close game because you know the Pacers are going to have max effort. I get that, but to like just not show up is surprising. And I wonder if that's the inexperience of not going through these playoff wars, and for the most part, them not really being tested hard this year. They blew out so many teams all year long, and they have not been emotionally tested as much. And I wonder if that experience or the lack of experience kind of played into them not coming out and just laying the hammer down and trying to put that away early. I found that surprising, but I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. All right. We're going to take a little break. Next segment, we got ESPN 929's Employee of the Decade. I'm calling it now. Jeffrey Wright is going to join us on the Jason and John Show. I'm J.R. Moore filling in for the boys on 92.9 FM.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
ESPN. Welcome back to the show. Joining us right now is the host of the Jeffrey and Company show every day on this station from 2 to 4. He's also the producer for the Jeff Calkins show, which comes on right before this one from 9 to 11. He is, I'm calling it right now, 92.9's Employee of the Decade. This is a hill that I'm going to die on. I'm trying to get you a plaque in this place for the number one employee.
Listen, I just celebrate for being, or I'd settle for just being nominated for, best of Memphis sports talk show.
Can we? Yeah, okay.
Last year, all 92.9 shows were nominated, except for mine.
They don't appreciate the hustle.
I guess I've had to Jay Leno it, where you're thinking of, all right, Dave, everyone else is always going to get the critics.
Yeah.
But I'm getting the numbers.
But I'm getting the numbers.
So I'm still getting paid.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to say, are you getting the money and the babes? All right.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Just swimming. I mean,
listen, I think
my wife did slide into my DMs.
I think we could name this Wright Studio. Like the producer booth could be the Wright booth.
I think Scott would first like to see if that could get financed. I think like most things, you can always get your name on something.
That's exactly
if
right.
If you have a deep enough pocket.
I think so.
I do not know if I would qualify in the deep enough pocket category.
I think so. Jeffrey, let me ask you this right after. Are you going to see Third Eye Blind tomorrow?
So we are going to see. I was thinking as George was playing the intro song, you think they're going to play that tomorrow night? They'll play Semi Charmed Life?
I have a gut feeling.
It's interesting. I like Third Eye Blind, but they're like sneaky up there in the bands I've seen the most.
How many times do you think you have seen them play?
I think tomorrow night will be 5.
That's a lot.
And
I mean, they've been around for 30 years.
Yeah, I mean, it helps. And they were like, I'm in the sweet spot of, you know, the neighbor that was like 2 or 3 years older than you that was like your hero?
Yes.
Okay, so they moved to Omaha.
Okay.
And we went to go visit them in Omaha, and he had his bedroom in the basement.
Okay.
Away from everything.
Perfect.
And he's like, wait till you get a load of this.
That could go anywhere.
He popped that CD. Exactly. He popped that CD right into his Brookstone, or not Brookstone.
Brookstone was the one, the Sharper Image?
Sharper Image.
Yeah.
It was in the Sharper Image three disc stereo. And he fired up Third Eye Blind's first album, which I think is just Third Eye Blind.
I think so.
And I mean, like, you're hooked. Like, at that point,
of
like, when that guy tells you, like, this is cool, this is what you're going to see, but they're up there because, I mean, I like them. Like, I like your band. Like, I like that genre of music. But it's not like I have like a Stephen Jenkins poster on my wall. It's like, you know, like they're not like in the hero status.
They
but
made
like,
good records.
Like, I was also thinking about this. It's like, even when was it 2015 Dopamine? Like, that album's pretty good.
They make good records, man. There's a lot of Stephen Jenkins stories out there, and most of them are not good. However, that guy can write songs.
He can write songs.
That guy can write songs.
He can write songs, and also, I kind of like that he's a douchebag. Like,
that
it kind of works. Well,
because
that was the other thing. The last time I saw him, I was with my wife the last time I saw him, and I'm like, he comes out, and he's 51 at this time.
All right.
He's in a hoodie with, like, 18 different wrist cuffs.
Like you do.
Whatnot. I was like, at what point are you supposed to be like, maybe I go from just like one wrist cuff and like you outgrow the hoodie? But I was like, no, that's exactly what I want Stephen Jenkins to be. I want him to be 51 and still thinking he's 28 and cool.
Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
Like, that's kind of what I want from
him. That's his brand, and he's staying
with it. He delivers.
He delivers on his brand.
Like, honestly, the thing is the most shocking, and maybe he's done some... maybe he's done some demographic research.
Okay.
I'm surprised he's not more preachy on stage.
Yeah, maybe.
He reminds me of the guy that's got a lot of preaching to do.
He does.
But he does, like, he was just kind of like vibes and like, let's cool. You guys have a show, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it shocked me that he was not more preachy.
Yeah, no, he's not. I think a lot of times at this point, guys at that around there are just happy to be getting a paycheck.
Yeah, because I did look. I was like, I wonder what the set.
Like, you know,
I wonder
like,
what the set list is. Yeah. And it's like he is on. No, listen, it's great work if you can get it. But like, this is like in between casino stops.
Sure, right.
And I'm sure he's like, you've done it too. I'm sure that if you want to go on a cruise with Third Eye Blind, I'm sure there's a cruise
better believe
out there.
It, buddy.
But like, I mean, I guess like that's the other thing. Like that. Is a legitimately viable way to keep your band relevant.
Absolutely.
Like, and still make money.
Absolutely. Listen, I give Sister Hazel props for the business model of how to keep your band alive long after your radio hits are done. That they are the inventors of the rock cruise. The rock boat is their baby. They started that whole thing. And all these cruises that all these bands have, the company Six Man runs most of those. That was Hazel's management company. They developed the cruise thing together, and it got so lucrative that Six Man stopped band management, and they only do cruises now.
Well, it's also I feel like they were a great test subject, too, because they're all from Florida, right?
Yes.
And so, like, I can imagine they're all like, yeah, cool, we'll go get drunk on a boat,
yep,
play some songs, play the hits.
They figured it out, man. They have the business model of how to do events to keep your band, your fans engaged, and to continue your career and continue to make money. They are the blueprint for that.
So, what are your boys Hanson? Like, have they just made so much money? Because, like, when they were obviously famous, you could make money without having to tour religiously.
Yes, you could actually sell records and make money off
Correct.
That. Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I don't know. I know they put out new music.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it seems like they're all still making a ton of money.
They are definitely all still making a ton of money.
But I don't see them that often.
Okay, so they are... The Hanson thing is that the problem is that they don't really make new fans.
I can see that.
They have the fans they made in the 90s and the early 2000s, and they are the most diehard, hardcorest of fans that ever existed. Buddy, those people bleed Hanson. And so...
They're like our version of Rush's fans?
Dude, yes. Or they like almost attribute it, almost like Deadheads. Like... They really
they're Rush for girls. For women.
These girls will tour for the summer following Hanson around for a summer. Adult women. It's like it's unbelievable how hardcore their fans are. And so yes, they still tour, they still play shows, and they still sell tickets well. It still does well, and they sell merch like crazy. So they still make a good living. They also all live in Tulsa, so they're not out, they don't live in the coastal cities to where your cost of living is crazy high. They're all family dudes, and
they haven't gotten divorced, right?
Yeah, right, and they all have they do have a million kids.
Yeah, but like I think you can afford the kid. It's the divorce.
Because it's the divorce.
You
still
have the kids.
That's exactly right.
And now you have to.
But they mostly what's weird is that as famous as they are, they are famous dudes. As famous as they are, they live in middle America and kind of live like normal people. Almost.
I can kind of buy that though.
And so now they're just working like they're dads who have a job. It just happens that their job is being Hanson. But like they still tour a lot. They never stop making music. They still consistently put out records and like they just do the cycle.
Rinse, repeat,
do the cycle. And so they still do well. And so they still make a good living. And I'm sure they made a fortune early on,
yeah,
with Umbop and
well, and there's no telling how much merch they've sold, right.
And so like, you put that away, and
I mean, they did get to do the thing that you've always, because I was thinking about this also, like the people that are selling their sports teams,
yeah,
it drives me insane.
Yes,
like if I were rich enough to own a sports team, I'm never selling that. Ever.
Why I wrote this down, and I didn't even write this down as a question to ask
but like
you.
The reason I was saying is they're into beer, like
yes,
craft beer, and
yes,
so like
started their own beer company.
It's like they get to do exactly what they want to do.
Exactly
like
right.
I guess that's kind of awesome.
They built their own studio. They inventory and make their own merch. They have a warehouse. They keep all their own. Everything is in house. So they have everything they do is in-house. And they're like, oh, we like beer? Well, let's make our own beer and put on our own beer festival. So they have a beer. They have a festival they do rotated around their beer they make.
They literally get to, like, anything. I kind of like this. Let's do that. Like,
yes. Yes.
Which has to be awesome.
It's kind of great that they have the freedom and the outreach to be able to not only do it, to then sell it to their fans and their fans
gotta
buy it.
You got to start a cult.
Right? Wouldn't it be great?
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
Wouldn't it be great? Why would you sell the Lakers if you're the Buss family? I know it's $10 billion, and I get that, but the Buss family is worth a lot of money, and if you could own a sports team, isn't the Lakers the one you want to own?
So, I'm woke on it. I think the league wanted them to sell. Number one, the Busses, you do have to realize this, that is their only business.
Yeah, that's true. They made all their money.
Correct. Like their dad, I think, had like some.
Yeah. What
I want to say, like he had like a.
What did Jerry?
He had a patent for a medical device
that's
that like
right.
everyone had to own. But like when he bought the Lakers, like he had to leverage everything.
Yes, that's right.
And then I believe like his ex-wife had to technically be on the note.
Yep.
And so then they turned that into the business.
That's true. So they still they run it like a business where they need to make money. They're not running it as a way of
the reason why I'm woke on it is so the Boston Cell, like, it's interesting to me that prior to the Celtics and the Lakers sell prices.
Yeah.
The franchises that were sold, like the Mavericks went slightly under like what, now granted it's a Forbes valuation, like whatever. But it was like basically the Mavs, the T-Wolves, I guess Phoenix went over market.
Yep.
But the other two were basically either right at the market price or slightly low. And now the NBA got heavily involved. With the Boston one, it's a little complicated because there seems to be a family dispute.
Right.
Because the old man owns it, but the son was running it, and think there's like second wives involved. Like,
right.
It's like a tale as old as time for rich, like rich white people.
Yep.
And so that went significantly higher than what was reported. And now the Lakers, I'm also woke on the $10 billion. I get it. It's like the valuation, but like that's not the cash changing hands.
Right.
But what I'm hopeful, this is how it could apply to Memphis. What I'm hoping is they're trying to jack the prices up so that when they decide to do, all right, we're moving teams around, we're going to do expansion and we're not doing relocation.
Yeah.
And what they're trying to do is get the price up so the expansion price will be like $6 billion.
I can see that.
That's what I'm hoping for. I'm also super woke on it when they do the Jeannie's still going to be the governor.
Yeah.
When it gets super PR-y, I'm like, oh, there's definitely Saudi money in this.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm thinking, there's money from a government that doesn't have human rights.
Yeah.
And they're just trying to flood it in with cash. But that's how they're jacking the prices up. But I don't know. Like, there's also kind of, it seems like now there is the, well, like, what is left for rich people to buy? And this is, like, their new paintings?
I mean, yes, it feels like if you're a billionaire, you want that thing. Like, you want to own a sports team so that you can be important and known to everybody. And that you have this thing people ask you about. Like, oh, they're talking about the Lakers. And so I feel like once you have one, Mike Heisley had this team up for sale, had the Grizzlies up for sale for, what, $300 million?
So,
roughly?
Originally, so remember, it was up for sale like two or three times.
Yeah. Yes.
I want to say the first time was like 150.
Yeah, right.
And then,
what was the price when Leitner couldn't,
I think,
bought it and then didn't buy it?
I think that was closer to 300 because, yep, I think when Para buys it, so Para buys it for like,
it was 350, right?
I think it was 350. But remember, the other issue with Para was Para wasn't liquid.
Yes. Right.
And so then they had to bring in
all
the Chicago people,
right,
that helped pay for it. And then he basically had like 10 years to own it. And,
yeah,
then he had to buy him out.
That's, or right,
it went up for sale. And so then it went to like $1.3 billion.
It's unbelievable.
And so, like, the other issue, though, with Boston was Boston doesn't own the arena. I'm not exactly sure of the mechanics of it. Like, I know the Buss family doesn't own the artist formerly known as Staples,
yeah,
Center.
Right.
But I think the Lakers, like, it's like a joint new company,
sure,
venture that, like, they do technically control and own it. So that's, like, why that one's higher. But I'm also very curious, like, why are you trying to sell your two legacy franchises like now, if this, like, within 6 months of each other?
Maybe this is a conspiracy theory. Maybe you're right on this, because I just can't picture a world where if you own the Lakers and you're not in trouble to where you need the money, or they are trying to force them out. I don't know. But why would you you have the golden goose. You have the golden egg. Why would you sell that?
I mean,
especially if you're going to keep working.
So, like, I also don't know the family dynamics. Jeannie and the brother, I don't think, talk
anymore.
They
don't get along, right?
So, I never know that. Like, and also, are all the kids from the same mom? Like, I never know. Is there ever like a half sibling that's involved that I don't know. It feels to me like the NBA, I'm not saying they orchestrated it, but they were clearly very supportive.
Yeah.
Because if you're, like, the question to me is, do the buses go to Silver and say, like, hey, we want to sell?
Right.
Or does Silver go, you know, you could get $10 billion for this?
I think the latter is what happened.
Because that makes more sense.
That makes more sense. I just still don't think, I mean, I feel like the bus would be like, yeah, I mean, I get it, but what could we get in 10 years?
Because the one that still makes the least sense to me is, why did Cuban sell?
I have no idea.
I think he's wired like you and I would be.
Yes.
I made $1 billion so I can buy a sports team.
I did it.
I now own the sports team, and I'm going to die with the sports team.
That's exactly right. I am a super fan, and I own it. So
correct.
Why would I give this up?
And he was like Mr. NBA cheerleader.
Yes.
Like, anytime anyone would criticize the business, like, you're wrong. Here's why you're wrong. Like, all
there's
this.
There's something going on. Like, the days, the mom and pop days of having a mom and pop ownership, which was, I feel like, even though they're rich mom and pop, but it's like single owner dudes like
it's
Cuban
like people
or,
that were the
or Heisley.
Yeah.
Like, those days are...
They're all owned by private equity firms
yes,
now.
Yes. It's starting to feel like Premier League soccer.
Well, the guy that just bought the Lakers owns Chelsea.
Right. Exactly right.
And by the way, as a casual Chelsea fan...
Who's the Red Sox owner? Henry.
He owns Liverpool.
Liverpool, that's right.
But like, bring back the Russian oligarch. I liked when we were cheating and we were winning and it was awesome. Yes. It's the same thing with the Cardinals. I was bemoaning this with Brad the other day. Like, we really haven't been good since we got caught doing what the Astros
That's
were doing
exactly
with
right.
the break-in on the computer system. Like,
let's cheat again. Get back. Just cheat better.
Just cheat a little bit.
Just cheat a little better.
Just try it again.
Every time, what kills me is every time when any kind of thing, whether it's politics or sports, and somebody accuses the other team of cheating, like, they're winning because they're cheating. I'm like,
good.
Everybody's cheating. Why don't you learn to cheat better?
Yeah, no, you're trying.
You're
you just
being
can't
lazy.
Do it. Like, we're better at
you're
it.
You're not cheating.
Suck
that's
it
good.
Up.
Cheat better.
It's loser talk.
Can we get Saudi money to buy the Cardinals so they'll spend money?
I mean, supposedly the Saudis are looking into Wrexham.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Holy moly. I mean, what do you know in the CONCACAF Gold Cup, which is North America, Central America, and Caribbean America? Oh, our guest team is Saudi Arabia to play. I wonder how that happens.
So,
you know, they buy their way into that?
My wife last night, she's like, wait, we're playing Saudi Arabia in CONCACAF? And I was like, well, wait till you go and you'll watch, and you're going to see all the Aramco signage.
That's exactly
gonna be,
right.
I think there was some PIF. I think I saw some PIF, public investment fund. I mean.
Yeah, their guest teams they've had before. They've had, like, Brazil. They've had some South American teams as the guest
team. We did
team.
Qatar 1 year, right?
Yeah, that was a couple. We did Qatar 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And now Saudi Arabia. You don't say that they're not adding a little money in that.
Well, I mean, like, at a certain point, if they're going to keep driving up these prices,
yeah,
there's not enough people that can afford this. So, yeah, they're going to be doing that.
Not on our hemisphere, there's not.
Well, like, but that was kind of the other thing. I wonder this. Like, let's say the reports of the Saudis are sniffing around on Wrexham.
Yeah.
Because Qatar owns the Aston Villa, right? I think Qatar
do
owns
they?
It.
I did not know that.
Or is it the Saudis that own Aston Villa?
I don't know which ones own Aston, but I think one owns Aston Villa.
Qatar owns PSG.
Who owns Newcastle? Yeah.
No, that's right. I think that's, I want to say that's the PIF. I want to say the PIF owns Newcastle. But is it possible that Rob McElhenney, who has been famous basically since I was in high school, if the Saudis buy his soccer team, right, he's going to make more money off that than being famous and having a show on television for 20-something.
Yes.
Like, this will be, like, the curious thing would, will Ryan make more money off this than, because he's got other business ventures.
Right. Well, you know, like, they do this, and I think they buy it, they get into Wrexham because it's a passion. They're passionate about it, and I don't know if it's necessarily
make
money.
I've always got the sense Rob is passionate about it, And then I think Ryan just like realized like
Ryan was the money behind his passion.
Correct.
Yeah. And so you wonder, like, are they doing this because it's fun and they don't need the money, or everybody has a number, and when the Saudis come in and give you show this number, you go, wow, I'll find another passion.
Well, and like
Aston, by the way, Aston Villa, it is owned half-ish by an American investment firm and an Egyptian billionaire.
Okay, so
Egypt and oil money.
I mean, that's where these things are going.
I know. And so, like, it's funny that how crazy when what's his face owned the Nets.
Parkroff?
Yeah. When we were like, this Russian oligarch is, you know, infiltrating the NBA. What is it, is this the next thing that all of our NBA teams are going to be owned by Russian oligarchs? And then he sells off. We're like, all right, we're back to basically American owners. And then I feel like the Saudis are coming in.
He sold to Joe Tsai, who's like,
that's all true.
Joe Tsai's got like ties to the Chinese Communist Party. Like,
that's true. I think the NBA is next on this.
Oh, I think it's happening. I think they're just better at PR.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can tell me that at this price point that they're not funding it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying all of it.
Right.
Because, like, that's the other thing. Now the NFL has even decided, like, well, we're going to dip our toe into, now it has to be approved and all this, but even they're dipping their toe into, they haven't quite said, we'll take, you know, investment fund or whatever, public investment fund money, but they're like the step right before it.
I thought the NFL might be the last of the good old boys network where they don't do that. But I mean,
if the Lakers just sold for $10 billion, I think everybody needs to be clear. $10 billion did not change hands.
Right.
What happened was the guy that owned like 17% bought the majority stake of like, now $4 billion probably changed hands.
That's still a lot.
And I'm sure it was financed by Goldman Sachs or someone like that. Like, I am sure that when you're that rich, you can get loans and whatnot. And like, I get it. But we're getting to the point where the only people that can afford these things are people that basically have an entire country's worth of oil and they don't share it with the people.
Yes. Like, I mean, he doesn't, it's not like he, who knows what his real thoughts are, but like, that para was able to get the Grizzlies at the price he got the Grizzlies. You wonder if, like, I guess if Cuban sold, anything's possible, but you wonder, why would he ever sell this team?
But like, that's the scary thing. It's like, I also go, okay, he's not from here.
Yeah, true.
If I see Stan Kroenke go, I can't wait to move the Rams to L.A.
That's a good point.
And all of a sudden, I can make the Rams worth three times literally in 24 hours.
I mean, it's true.
It's why I am actually, like, the whole point of this is not to scare people. Here's what I am actually rooting for. If all this was designed to get the expansion price up,
right,
I am rooting for that. Well, because I want Seattle, whatever your destination is that you could quote-unquote move this franchise and triple the value or quadruple the value, whatever, I want those spots to get expansion teams.
Absolutely. Well, do you not think that they would, that if the price is too high, it'll be harder to get expansion teams there? Like, wouldn't it be cheaper to then move a team?
I mean, I guess the other big question in this is, what is Silverview? Because in the end, everyone that...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.